Do you ever tempt God? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, remember the words from the musical Les Miserables? To love another person is to see the face of God. Isn't that beautiful? Even the people who get on your nerves, even the people who take you for granted, even the people who don't keep their promises, even the people that you seem to have very little in common with, they can be transformed if you can recognize the face of God in other people. If you can realize that you're serving Jesus when you serve those people, that you are going out of your way for Jesus when you go out of your way for those people. You need to become, and you've heard me say this before, a domestic mystic. That's a person who sees. We all have to see with the eyes of God. We see in new ways. We see and we act because God dwells in us and we believe God dwells in other people. Let me share with you today's scripture passage. It's a continuation of the devil in Luke chapter 4, tempting Jesus. This comes right after he was in the desert, right after he was baptized by John in the Jordan. He's beginning his public ministry. The devil leads him into the desert for a time of prayer and fasting, but also to handle the temptations. Here's how the devil does it this time. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Into the scripture passage. Now you can see why I asked at the beginning of the program the question, do you ever tempt God? Well, you know, I think we do. I think we tempt God. I think we do that in big and little ways. I mean, we tempt God by the way we abuse our health. We tempt God by the way we drive. We tempt God by the way we place ourselves in a situation where there's great temptation, and we think God's supposed to just jerk us out of that situation so we won't give in to the temptation. That's tempting God. That's making God magic. That's like waving the magic wand and boom, or the genie. Opening up a bottle and cork comes out and the genie's there. So, you know what? That's magic. That's not mystery. Jesus was severely tempted. We saw that with hunger yesterday. Now we're going to see it where the devil wants Jesus to tempt his father to do something provocative. You know, and I've heard of cases, and you probably have too, of people who challenge God in a provocative way. Let me tell you two stories, okay? Whether they're true or not, what can I say? You hear these stories, there's not any way of finding out, since you often get them in the internet, off the internet, if they're true or not. Okay, so the first story, actually they're both about professors who are talking to their university students at the very first class at the beginning of the school year. And the first story has to do with a professor who's holding a big piece of chalk. And he says to his students, "I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. You know what? I'll tell you what. If there's a God, let this God stop me from breaking this piece of chalk. I'm going to throw it on the floor. It will be smashed. It'll break up into many pieces. If God doesn't want that to happen, stop this chalk." And just then, the chalk slips out of the professor's hand, gets caught in the folds of his black gown, and comes down and lies on the floor and rolls back and forth a little bit, and it's not broken at all. And from the way I heard the story is the professor, dumbfounded by that, gathers up his books before the class even began and for all practical purposes and walks out of the room amazed. The second one is a little bit more humorous, nonetheless makes the point. So we got a professor, it's the beginning of the school year, he's talking to his science class, he says he's an atheist, and then he challenges God. He tempts God. He says, if there's a God, strike me dead right now. If there's a God, so-called God up in heaven, strike me dead right now. He's standing there with his big silly grin on because, you know, he doesn't expect God to strike him dead. He's done this year after year. Now, here's where the story is amusing. It says that one of the college students, a big football player, comes up to the professor, punches him so hard that he falls over onto the ground, onto the floor. And the professor's dumbfounded, and he's glassy-eyed, and his head's spinning. But when he can get up, he says to the student, what was that for? And the student says, well, God was busy, so he sent me. I love it. Anyways, who am I? What am I doing here and where am I going? Those three burning questions that I often ask. Because you shouldn't tempt God. You shouldn't play God. You shouldn't give people the impression that you know all the answers. There should be a humility in you. There should be a great love of doing it Jesus' way, even when it's difficult. Paul says, none of us lives as our own master, none of us dies as our own master. While we are alive, we are responsible to the Lord, and when we die as his servant. Both in life and death, we are the Lord. That's why Jesus died and rose from the dead, so he could be Lord of both the living and the dead. Okay? So we are servants of the Lord. We need to remember that constantly. If you move away from being a servant of the Lord, you're going to move in a direction that will not be good for you. It'll be very risky. You'll endanger your salvation, your health. Don't play God. Okay? And you know this very well. We test God when we expect him to constantly cover our mistakes. We think God is this big, indulgent, rich father who just keeps covering his mistakes. That's testing God, and that's testing a father also. We need to make sure that we stay healthy by dressing properly. We need to make sure we get enough sleep. We need to make sure we eat healthy, okay? We can't just expect God to grab us, force open our mouths, and just shove healthy food down there. We cannot expect God if we wander out. It's obviously the red light is red. Wander into traffic, then God's going to scoop down and grab us. No, we can't expect that of God. That's tempting God. We tempt God when we don't take care of our health, when we don't act safely, when we don't interact with the people, especially our loved ones and our immediate family, who are there to remind us of what? Of the way God wants us to be accountable for our actions, the way we are to work together closely, to do teamwork. Don't forget that, okay? Don't tempt God. You know how Jesus challenged the devil? We saw it again in today's scripture passage that I used. Last line. Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Who are our prayer partners today? State policemen, okay? They are the people in charge of the whole state. Obviously they're broken up into regions within the state, but they take on some very serious problems in crime because they're interstate. They cross the state lines. So we want to ask God to keep our state policemen and women safe from all harm, help them to act justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with their God. Here's today's food for thought. God does not wish us to remember what he is willing to forget, right? And that's part of the problem of growing old. We have all those embarrassing memories of the stupid things we did when we were young, okay? We need to just let go of that. Or as you've heard me say so many times, let go and let God. All right, today's humor. St. Peter was checking the gates between heaven and hell and found a broken hinge. He walked over to the pit and called to the devil. The devil says, "Yeah, what do you want?" St. Peter says, "The hinge is broken and it's turned off, and it's your turn to fix it." The devil retorted, "Gee, I'm a bit busy and don't have anyone available for this." St. Peter got angry. "Look, we have an agreement, and it's your turn to fix the gate." The devil responded, "Sorry, Pete. It's our peak season, and there just isn't anyone available." St. Peter turned red and exclaimed, "Okay, if that's the way you want it, we will sue you." Well, a big grin broke out on the devil's face and the devil says, "Oh, yeah? And just where are you going to find the lawyer?" "Like in heaven?" It's a lawyer joke. Come on, you got to laugh. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know that you listened to the program. It's such a shot in the arm. It's really an inducement for me to keep my radio ministry alive. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. It tells you where I'm preaching. It's the only way you can find out where I'm preaching in case I'm preaching near you or a loved one. Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you would like to send me a donation, and I hope you would like that, for my hospital for the poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico, make the check out to TASH, Inc., the Anacetar Hospital, TASH, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Also, if you use the Internet, I want to encourage you to visit my website at fatherscott.com. Spell out Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, fatherscott, one word, .com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.